Psalm 145, verse 3, says, "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and then in His greatness is unsearchable." His greatness is unsearchable. Those of us who read John 3:16 know that the question comes, how much does God love us? So much. You can't define it. You can't put a number on it. You can't explain it. The Bible said, God Himself said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." And you know the story behind this little story that come from that, about a little girl, a little boy that may have been a little girl, went to Sunday school, and she heard her Sunday school teacher teach the most important lesson any Sunday school teacher ever teaches, and that's that God loves you and I, and that God loves us. And they even sang that song, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." They probably sang, "Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white." They sang those songs, and that little child heard that over and over, and went home one day, and their daddy wouldn't go to church, wasn't interested, and the child said to the papa, said, "Hey, you know God loves you, and God loves me." And the teacher said that God really, 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 really loves us. And daddy said, "Well, how much does God love us?" And that little child tried to figure it out and said, "He loved us so much that He stretched out His hands this wide and said, I love you." And that's what Jesus did. A lot of times my kids, they'll say, "Daddy, I love you." And I say, "I love you too." And I say, "I love you about that much." And they'll say, "Daddy." And I said, "Well, about that much?" And they'll say, "Daddy." I said, "That much?" And that still isn't enough. I mean, it's not satisfied till it's about this much. Amen. But God loved us so much. You can't define it. You can't explain it. You'll never know how much God loves you. But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I mean, God gave His only begotten Son just to say to this world, "Here's how much I love you. I love you so much that I give you my only Son." And so when the Bible says here, God is great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, His greatness is unsearchable. And I just want to talk to you just for a minute about why God is so great, and why He's so great to me, and if He's great to you, there's a reason why He's great. A lot of people have heard about God's greatness, but there's a few people that know He's great. And I'd like to be among that crowd. I'd like to be numbered among that crowd that know that God is great. I don't want to just hear about His greatness. Can you imagine being brought up in a home where people teach that God is no good? Or can you imagine being brought up in a home where God is nothing but just a part of a cuss word, as a byword, or taught that you... Can you imagine being brought up in a home of an atheist, one of these atheists that by the time their children are 11 or 12 years old, brainwash them so that they go to school and they hear the Pledge of Allegiance, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty. And that child, that antenna goes up in the child, and they run home and say, "Daddy, guess what they said today? They said God in school." And that parent says, "Oh, we got to do something about it." And they drag those little children off to a courtroom, and they testify against their teachers that would dare to mention God in the school. Can you imagine being brought up in a home like that where God is vilified, hated, and just run down? I can't imagine that. Amen? But God is great. And the truth of the matter is, God is so great. And I want us to know how great He is. And you don't just snap your fingers and realize how great He is. It's a process of knowing. Because the Bible says His greatness is unsearchable. His greatness is unsearchable. Sometime I'd like to just take a picture of everything that's in my refrigerator. That way Travis and Autumn and Caleb and Kayla and Angelia and Curtis someday and Hannah and Jessica. Oh, never mind. I should mention her. That way they wouldn't have to go and open the refrigerator up and stand and look in it. Boy, if they had been raised at my home, my dad, you had 3 seconds to open. How many of you had 3 seconds to open the refrigerator up and shut the refrigerator, or else you was in the refrigerator. I mean, your rear end was in there cooling down, amen. And But I like to just take a picture of everything that's in there so they don't have to open it. They can just look at the picture and see what all's in there and search it. But listen, I'd just like for you to open up just for a minute and just open up the refrigerator and look in there and just see how great God is. Amen. And I can't make Him any greater than He already is, but I just want to give you a little insight, the little thing here to help you and I understand how great He is. And number one is this. He's great. Oh, by the way, I want y'all pray for me. It's not easy when your wife gets older. Tomorrow, my wife has a birthday, and I've got to deal with that another year. And she gets meaner every year. And just pray for me, amen. But I do want to say that she's a wonderful wife and a wonderful mom and all that stuff. And anyway, she paid me to say that. But Psalm 145, verse 3, says, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable." Verse 4 says, "One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts." And He said, "I'll speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works, and men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness." And He's speaking about the children of Israel. God was great to the children of Israel because God elected those people. He chose those people to be vessels of mercy, that they would know His greatness. And God's chosen us tonight that we would know His greatness. It's no accident that you're here tonight and that God worked in your heart one day and that God saved you. God wants you to be a vessel of His mercy and to show forth His greatness and to let folks know how great He is. He's great. God is great because He created man. I'm glad that God made us. But God is my creator. He made me. Amen. And He made you. I mean, the very moment you were conceived in your mother's womb, it was God that did that. It was God that allowed, when God spoke, "Live," and you began to live at that very moment. You didn't begin to live 9 months later. You began to live at that very moment. That was no accident. That was not a first-time process that took place, but at that moment, God said, "You live." And at that moment, God determined your features. He determined what you'd look like, the color of your hair. Some of you, if you'd have any hair, or some of us, I mean, if we have any hair. He determined right then your eye color. He determined everything about you. He determined your personality and all that there is about you. God determined every bit of it right then and there. And what you would do in this world and what difference you would make in this world. God did all that. But here, God is so great because not just because He created me, but God is so great because He answers my prayers. You see, you'll never know how great God is until you begin to pray and petition this God, this great God. And when you begin to petition Him in prayer and you see that God is willing, the great God that created the heaven and earth and the stars, when you see that great God is willing to bend His ear to hear your prayers, then you'll begin to see how great God is. Hey, not only is God so great in that He hears our prayers, but God He even knows our thoughts. I mean, He even reads sometimes God will do something and you only thought about it. You never even prayed about it. I mean, you just thought about it. And before you could even pray, God answered. Amen. Hey, but it's amazing that God is mindful of us. There's a verse here in the Bible that in Job chapter number 9, Job was probably one of the older books in the Bible, the life of Job and the account of Job. And when I read Job, it's interesting to see all the answers that you and I have in Scripture that Job didn't have. And one of the things that Job, in Job chapter 9, verse 13, he said, "If God will not withdraw His anger, the proud helpers do stoop under Him." And we find out later on that God will withdraw His anger. Amen. And verse 14 says, "How much less shall I answer Him and choose out my words to reason with Him?" And Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now and let us reason together. Though our sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." And we find out that God invites us to reason with Him. But then in verse number 15 says, verse 14, "How much less shall I answer Him and choose out my words to reason with Him? And whom Though I were righteous, yet would I not answer, but I would make supplication to my judge. And verse 16 says, if I had called and he had answered me, yet would I not believe that he had hearkened unto my voice. You hear that? You hear what? Hey, Job was a perfect man, an upright man, a man that eschewed evil and feared God. But when Job was talking about prayer, Job said, if I prayed and asked God for something and God answered it, it's almost like he was saying it must have been a coincidence, because I can't believe that God, who created me, would hear my petition and answer me. But we find out in Jeremiah 33:3 that God said, call unto me. And he said, I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not. You know, it's an amazing thing that God will answer us. Amen. I have a hard time. God knows I love my kids, but I like to do things for them, but I have a hard time when they demand something of me. Don't you? You hear children, they'll demand something. Give me this, or you give me that, that's pretty much a dead end thing right there. Amen. But I tell you what, though, here's the great thing. As a parent, they're my children, but I will listen to their requests. And if it's a good thing, if it's right thing, I will consider it. And there's times even that if I'm able to, that I'll answer that petition, I'll answer that request, because God put that in my heart. But I want you to know that God created you, and that God says, call unto me. He said, cast all your cares on me. He said, bring all your requests to me. He said, just throw it all on me. He said, you have not because you ask not. Brother, listen, it's amazing. God's great that he created all of us, but God is so great that he's willing to listen to our prayers, and he's willing to answer our prayers. Any of you ever prayed about something and God answered? Somebody tell me about something you prayed and God answered. Somebody give me a specific in short answer. Yes, sir. That's okay. Amen. Hey, isn't that good? Hey, that's just coincidence. Oh no, that's what Job thought. But we know better, amen. We know enough to know that there are no coincidences, that we do serve a God that's a miracle working God. Somebody else right off, I won't, yes. Amen. Instantly. Just coincidence, right? No. We have a God who knows us, who's willing to hear the simple request. God is great because he created us, but he's so great because he listens to our request and he says, here's the answer. Somebody else. Brother, yes.
We pray here earnestly for the
Amen. 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 Yes. Miss Echo, you had your hand up. Listen to these folks.
Our grandson and his friends from the family for 13 years just lived in Ohio near my community. And his baby was 2 when his time was hard. And he had no baby either, but he's been to college. And just a few months ago, the time rang.
Amen. Amen. And God did. Amen. Somebody else. Yes.
I
Amen. 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 We'll do it. Yes, sir, Ron. Amen. That's what I was wondering right there. These folks, and I've said this before, but just four or five people were here, and they were coming to keep the insurance from canceling the policy, and God just intervened in a way. And I Brother Ron, we had prayed, and the day I met the brother to come in here, as soon as I walked, I hadn't taken five steps in the back door back there, and the Lord said, "We want you guys to have church down here. We're going to." And we waited a while until God made the price right, and then God paid for that, and God took care of all that. Amen. But it wasn't any time we'd waited in that storefront building, not had a lease, paying $1,000, but waiting on God, and God answered prayer. Amen. You just wait on God. God answers prayer. It's amazing that God, I've never seen him. I mean, he's up there in heaven, and it's amazing that God answers prayer. Little Travis is down there. The end of the day, what day was it? I'm ashamed to tell you this, but Jessica, they had him somewhere, and I said, "Well, take him and buy him lunch." And they went and they bought lunch, and he ate three double cheeseburgers from McDonald's. And he come home, and it was one of them days, man, and we was just in a hurry. So I was doing some work. I said, "Go ahead and get him some more cheeseburgers." And I said, "Get him one of them onion triples." And he got one of those, and he ate that triple cheeseburger. You know, they're all cheap, you know, a dollar or something. He ate that thing, and he ate it down. He said, "Is that all I got?" And then he ate Angelia's and Kayla's and clean. So he had about 12 hamburger patties, you know, the day. Well, that little fellow right there was born almost 2 months premature. I remember the day when the doctor called and said, "We're going to put a tube in him, and he can't eat," and all these things. And the nurse got mad at me because I went ahead and told him to go ahead and let him be born, you know. And they was trying to stop it and trying to. It was a fight. Brother Eric, you were over there. You know a little bit about it. And I mean, it was a fight, and it was a battle all the way through. And he was there in the NICU for 15 days in that little thing there. But I'm going to tell you what, listen, I remember on a Thursday night we were over there in the church, and I'd pray and say, "God, I don't know what you're going to do with him. He's yours," and whatever. And we'd look in there, but that night, and I didn't expect him to send him home right away. But we got ready to leave, and Brother Selby stood up. And y'all remember how he was about stuff. He stood up, and he said, "Oh, wait a minute, folks, wait a minute." I remember his words. He said, "It ain't right." He said, "Preacher and Jessica, that little baby over in the hospital, he needs to be home." And all the time he's talking, I was thinking, "Hey, he does, but it won't be anytime soon, but we'll pray about it." And the next day was a Friday. It was the coldest day that whole winter, rainy. About sometime that afternoon, they called and said, "Y'all can come on up here and pick him up this evening." Less than 24 hours, less than 12 hours after the church gathered around, and you, some of you folks were there, and you knelt, and we prayed there. Within just a few hours, God answered from heaven, and God did a miracle. Amen. God's a miracle-working God. I'm glad that He is. God is great. He's great because He created every one of us. Amen. But He's so great because, listen, there's not a one of us. God's no respecter of persons. Listen, if you're here tonight and you're thinking, "Well, I'd like to have some, I'd like to be able to say God answered and I prayed," you just start praying and God will answer. Amen. He's not partial. He's no respecter of persons. He'll answer, but you got to pray. And you pray and God will answer your prayers. Amen. He's a great God. He's great because He created us. Listen, His greatness in answering prayer. Do you know that He's great and that He answers prayer? Have you ever seen God answer prayer? Have you ever seen God work in your life? I'm going to just encourage you, if you want to know how great God is, you get to pray and you see that God is so great that He answers the prayers of us. We're unworthy. We're His creatures. He's our Creator, yet God is willing to bend the ear, the Bible says, and listen to us. He hearkens to the voice of our prayers. Amen. He just, our thoughts, God's one. He, all throughout the Bible, He says, "Call, pray, I want to answer you." Brother, listen, He wants to show us that He's listening to us. He's a great God. Number two, He's great because He is high and holy. He is. Isaiah said, I saw the greatness of the Lord. And he said, I saw that He was high and holy and lifted up. And he said, I'm a man of unclean lips and all that stuff. But I'm going to tell you what, here's the amazing thing about that. God is high and He is holy and He is great. But here's what's amazing. He's so great because He sees us in our lost condition. The Bible says He sees us and He saw that we were lost and on our way to hell, and He sees our wickedness and our sinfulness, and God sees us in that condition, and He made a way of salvation for us. And that salvation, not only does it save us, but God sets us on high. Amen. He makes us joint heirs with Him. Hey, God is great because He's high and holy, but He's so great because He reached down in the pit of our sin and He lifts us up and He puts our feet on the solid rock and He establishes us. Friend, listen, God is great because He's high and holy, but He's so great because He'll make you and I holy just like Him. Say, preacher, I'd like to be holy. And you're going to try to set out to be holy? Friend, listen, you're trying to make yourself holy? Is a catastrophe. You can't do one thing to add any holiness to yourself. The more you try to make yourself better, the worse you're going to be. Friend, listen, and even saved people sometimes say, well, I'm going to live a clean, pure, holy life. You can't do it as an unsaved person. You can't do it as a saved person. Friend, listen, you can't add any holiness to yourself. All holiness is it's God working in your life. Amen. Hey, God's willing to work in our life and clean us up on the inside. Friend, listen. Hey, I've been out in the filth before and dirty and just filthy. Any of y'all ever been filthy and dirty? And I don't know about the rest of you, but I enjoy a hot water and soap. Amen. I like being clean. Boy, it feels good after you've been out in the filth and the dirt. And we were driving through the country the other day and thinking about baling hay. And I remember how much I used to enjoy going down, really did. And I'd enjoy baling hay, them blocks, and putting them out there. And man, listen, that was hard work, but it was good work. And boy, how good it is when you got that hay all down your shirt and all over you. And you've been out in that hot, boy, to get home and take a good hot shower and get cleaned up and put on good clean clothes. Friend, listen, I don't know any person that would rather be dirty than what they would to be clean. And I'm not talking about clean on the outside. I'm talking about clean on the inside. And I serve a God who is holy and clean and pure and upright. But He's so great because He's willing to clean us up. Amen. You say, preacher, I'd like to be clean. You say, preacher, I feel pretty dirty. I feel pretty filthy. I want to tell you what, listen. Hey, the devil would like for you to stay that way. He'd like for you to think that that's the best it's ever going to be. You're always going to be that way. But I want to serve notice tonight. I want you to know that God is able to clean you up and make your life different. He's able to clean your mind. You say, preacher, I want to get me a new mind. You can't, but God's able to clean up your mind. Amen. Hey, God, hey, listen, God's able. You just let God work in your life and let God clean your mind. Amen. He's able. I got to hurry. Amen. Number three, He's great because He is merciful. He is so great because His mercy has been made available to me. Now listen to me this morning, this afternoon, whatever time it is. I don't know. I want you to read to you in Romans. A lot of folks don't understand the mercy of God, but I want to read a passage of Scripture to you that a lot of folks don't think is in the Bible. But when I read it, I just want you to rejoice where you stand with God tonight. If you've been saved and redeemed, don't try to understand it, because God didn't intend for you and I to understand this. He just intended for us to rejoice in it. Amen? In Romans chapter 9, verse 14, the Bible says, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For He saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Verse number 18 says, therefore hath He mercy on whom He will have mercy, and whom He will He hardeneth. Verse number 19 says, thou wilt say then unto me, why doth yet He find fault? For who hath resisted His will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay, the same lump, to make one vessel into honor and another into dishonor? Verse 23 says, and that He might make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy, which He had afore prepared unto glory. Brother, listen, hey, I can't explain that to you, and I'm not going to try to explain it to you, and I'm not going to set myself up on a pedestal as a great Bible expositor and exegeter and all that rest of that stuff and try to explain that to you, but I just want you to know it like this. Brother, listen, for some reason or another, God called your number, and God called my number, amen, and one day God called me, and one day God called you, and hey, listen, and God sent salvation to me, amen. Hey, listen, God extended to me His mercy, and God saved me from my sin. Hey, He's great because He's a merciful God, but He's so great because His mercy come to me. Amen. Don't try to understand it tonight, but listen to me. We ought to rejoice and thank God for His mercy where we could be, but we'll never be. We'll never know the fires of hell. We'll never know the torments of the damned. Even if we deserve it, we'll never know it because God in His holiness and God in His righteousness looked down and He said, there, that's a vessel of mercy to bring glory and honor to me. Amen? Now, it's a shame tonight. It's a shame for us who have known the mercy of God not to identify with the great God and His greatness and let others know how great God is because of His great mercy on us. We ought to let people know. Amen? You say, well, what if they don't believe it? It doesn't matter if they believe it or not. We ought to let them know. We ought to be vocal about letting folks know, hey, God is a merciful God. Amen. He's a great God. Listen, God is great because of grace. He is so great because of the sufficiency of His grace to me. Let me just explain something to you. I read that one day where the Bible says His grace is sufficient. At first I read that and I thought, you know, that's an understatement in a way. His grace is sufficient. That just means just enough. And I studied and thought about it for a few days, and then it come to me, as it always does, the Bible's right and my thinking's wrong. Every one of you here that drove a vehicle that takes oil, has an oil tank in it, it only holds so much quarts of oil, most five, maybe a few, six, maybe a few exceptions, generally five. You can't put 10 in there. You say, I'm going to go ahead and put extra in there so that I don't ever have to worry about it. No, you better not. That'd be a bad idea. I guess I've always been told it's better to run a quarter too low than it is to have too much. Brother, listen, I want you to know this, that God's grace is sufficient. You see, there's just enough of God's grace to take care of whatever you face tomorrow. Whatever comes, you say, but preacher, you don't know the burden I'm going through. You don't know how hard this last year's been. You don't know how hard it's been for me to deal with the loss of my loved one. I may not know, but I want you to know that you're here tonight. You're a testimony of the fact that God's grace is sufficient, and you're going through something that you never would have thought you could go through it. But God's grace is sufficient to get you through it day by day. God's able. 2 years ago, someone might have come to you and said, do you think you'd be able to handle this? And you'd say, no. But you said here today, someone may have come to you 40 years ago and said, such and such is going to happen in your life, and this tragedy is going to come your way, and do you think you can handle it? And you would have said, no, no, 1,000 times no, I don't want that, but it happened. No one came to you and asked your permission. It happened. And you prayed, and you hoped that it wouldn't happen, but it did. God didn't answer the prayer you wanted Him to, but God answered in a more miraculous way. God said, let me show you how wonderful my grace is. Let me show you that my grace is sufficient. And someone may look at you and say, oh, I don't know how you handle it. I'll tell you how you handle it, and I'll tell you how you ought to tell them you handle it. You handle it because God's grace is sufficient. God's grace is sufficient. Brother, listen, that's all I got to say about that. Listen, God's grace, He's great because of His grace, but He's so great because of His sufficiency of grace to me. I don't know what I may have to deal with, but I know that God's grace is sufficient. That's all I need to know. His grace is sufficient. The Apostle Paul besought the Lord thrice. He prayed earnestly, God, remove this thorn. And God said, I ain't going to do it. He said, you're going to illustrate that my grace is sufficient. And you're going to live with it, but I'm going to help you. And then God may not remove the thorn, but I'll tell you what, God will prove through us and to us that His grace is sufficient for whatever we endure. Amen? Brother, listen, God is great because the gospel is great. In the gospel, aren't you glad for the gospel? Think about just for a minute, those of you young people here and those of you that was raised in church. I was raised in Sunday school and church. All I've ever heard is the gospel of God's grace. I never was a Muslim. I never was raised in one of these churches where they worship statues and where you eat Jesus, you know, and all that stuff. I never was a part of that. All my life, I've been in a church where preachers stood behind pulpits and preached God's grace. Some of them didn't have good grammar, and some of the people would stand up and testify, and you couldn't understand half of what they were saying and all the songs. But everything, all I've ever known is about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hey, listen. The gospel is great, but it's so great because the gospel's come to my house. Amen? The gospel's come to your house. Listen, I don't know what kind of problems you're having at home. I don't know what kind of difficulties in your marriage. But if your husband's saved and you're saved and your children are saved, you ought to be rejoicing. Amen? Hey, listen, maybe we ought to just quit. Maybe you say, but preacher, we don't have all the money we got. Yeah, but if you're saved, man, listen. If you're saved, friend, listen. Hey, you may not have all the bills paid, and you may have a little problem here, or you may have had a little misunderstanding, or you may be having a hard time getting along, but maybe put that aside and just rejoice that God's gospel, the gospel of grace, has come to your house. And your family's saved, and they know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And heaven is their home, and your name's written down there. Rejoice that the gospel came to your house. Amen. What a sad thing it would be to have to say goodbye to someone and to never know if you'd see them again. But if the person that you live with and you love and you call your dearest on earth, if that person's saved and you're saved, you ought to just rejoice and thank God that everything's all right. Amen. And the whole family may not be saved, but I think every saved person ought to desire and pray to see their family saved. I think that's one of the first things that happens. I remember, for an example, when Brother Eric's dad got saved. He's 78 years old, wasn't he? And when you go see Brother Williams when he got saved, before you'd leave, he'd ask you to pray. Now, he wasn't just asking you to pray for the sun to shine. He would tell you specifically some people in his family that weren't saved. No one told him that except God did. Amen. The moment he got saved and began to live the Christian life, he had a desire in his heart to see his family members saved. Amen. That's the way it ought to be for every one of us. Amen. And if they're not, they can be. Amen. But if they are, you ought to rejoice. We ought to rejoice that salvation has come to our homes. God is great because the gospel is great, but He's so great because He saves families. He told Zacchaeus, He said, come down. He said, I'm coming to your house today. Amen? Brother, listen. You'll never know His greatness till you know Him. If all you ever do is hear about Him, even those that come to church, if all you do is casually attend church, And you hear about it, you'll never know how great God is just by hearing me preach a little sermon. You won't know how great He is by rubbing shoulders with somebody. You'll never know. All you'll ever do is hear about God's greatness. You're missing out. You need to know experientially. You need to know personally how great God is. The only way you'll know how great God is when you get to know Him. And those of you that know Him and think you know how great He is, I want to remind you of what our text is tonight. His greatness is unsearchable. Unsearchable. One of my boys is asleep. Caleb's sitting down here. They love to go to Mama's house. And because there's hidden treasure at Mama's house. They like to go upstairs and get in the closets and dig through the closets and find hidden treasures. Boy, and listen, and they'll come to you and say, look what we found. I mean, they're excited. It's something we threw in there years ago. But they're having a good time searching. I wish us Christians would just, instead of being so beat up all the time, worried, I wish we'd just say, you know what, we got a great God. And there's so much I don't know about Him. I'm so caught up in this old world and worrying what's going on. I wish we just get so busy getting to know God that people had to tell us what the news was instead of we having to tell them. Amen. I'm so tired of Obama cereal. Amen. I listen, they ain't a good thing. I ain't heard a good thing out of that mess ever. Amen. And I ain't never going to hear nothing good out of that mess. Amen. You ain't going to hear nothing good out of that mess, but I tell you what, you get to know God. And brother, listen, this greatness of God is unsearchable. Unsearchable. I mean, what's that mean? That means every day there's something new to find out about God. And if you're saved tonight, you're a vessel of mercy. God had mercy on you. And God wants to show you how good He is. If you're saved tonight, God says, call unto me. We ought to get to praying and just see that God's able and God's willing to answer our prayers. Amen? I'm going to tell you what, I'm glad we have a God that answers prayer. I'll close. I told you I'd quit, and I will. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. God, thank you for your mercy and your grace and your goodness. And God, you're a great God, and Lord,